to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And go ahead and place a marker in there. And we'll read first in Ephesians chapter 5. And then we'll jump back to Proverbs chapter 31. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll be reading verses 25 through 27. Our heads and close our eyes one more time. I just pray that the Lord would be with us during the preaching. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, humbling ourselves, Lord. I just pray, God, that you use the message that's going to be preached this morning, Father. I pray, Lord, that you give me wisdom, boldness, and the right words to say so I can honor and glorify you. Lord, please open our hearts and our minds to the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We'll be first in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll start on verse 25 and then go down to verse 27. The Bible says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We see here in Ephesians that Christ loved the church. Not only did he love the church, but he gave himself for it. And the Bible says in the same chapter, but in verse 23, that the man is the head of the home, and so Christ is the head of the church. This just represents that the church is the bride, and the Lord Jesus Christ is a groom. The church is the bride, remember that, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the groom. These are just metaphors to describe the relationship between us, the church, and the Lord Jesus Christ. As a church, we ought to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer and reading God's word. Because of time, we won't read this, but in Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins represent us, the church, and the groom represents the Lord Jesus Christ. We see throughout the New Testament, it's clear that the church, which is us, we represent the bride, and the Lord Jesus Christ represents the groom. And we can see that all the way from the beginning of Genesis, from the beginning. We can clearly see that it was Adam and Eve, a man and a woman. It wasn't Adam and Steve. It wasn't a man and a man. It wasn't a woman and a woman. It was Adam and Eve, a man and a woman. But with that being said, and just laying out my introduction, remember that the church represents the bride, okay, and the Lord Jesus Christ represents the groom. The bride is the woman, and the groom is the Lord Jesus Christ, which represents the man. Now let's go ahead and go into Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. The title of my sermon this morning is a good church is like a good woman. A good church is like a good woman. And as we just saw in the introduction, the church represents the bride of Christ, which is the woman, and the Lord Jesus Christ represents the groom, which is the man. And if our church represents the woman in the Bible, metaphorically speaking, then it is our job as a church that represents the bride of Christ to be like a good woman. We see here in Proverbs chapter 31, a very famous chapter, especially when you're looking for a wife. I should probably read this a little bit more. The characteristics of a good woman and the church, the bride of Christ, ought to match these characteristics if we want to be labeled a good church in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want God's approval. Okay, I want God's blessing on our church. I mean, I want his approval on Vision Baptist Church. And I'm just going to be straight honest here. Some of you won't like my sermon this morning. I really tried to avoid preaching this, but I couldn't. I just felt convicted every time I tried looking through my stash of sermons. And the Lord just kept on placing this sermon right here. And like I said, I'm just going to be honest. Some of you won't like it. I tend to be a little direct, but I'll try to work on not being too direct, but I don't know. God just made me this way, okay? But I'm preaching this morning, okay? But let's go ahead. Let's look there at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Let's look at verse 10 there. The Bible says this: who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find one, folks? Who can find a good church? Let me tell you something this morning. You're going to have to look for a good church. If you're visiting this morning, it's your first or second time, you're probably looking for a church. Let me tell you something right now. You're going to have to look for a good church. And nowadays, you just got to say that. I mean, we got so many different churches. We got churches with the rock and roll band. We got churches, they don't preach the Bible. All these liberal churches. They anti-soul winning, no more going out and spreading the gospel. No standards, they won't preach about the Bible, they won't preach against sin. You're going to have to look for a good church. Just the way a godly man ought to look for a good woman. All right, as a Christian, you will be part of the body of Christ, and you're going to have to start looking for a good church. Who can find a good woman, the Bible says? I mean, who can find a good church? So many churches around here. I mean, we a lot of churches, different Baptist churches, liberal churches. I mean, in Buckeye, okay, I live in Buckeye. There's a Baptist church there. I won't get into names. I don't want to get into any drama this morning. But there's a Baptist church there, and I just wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go there. And I mean, they got the whole rock and roll thing, and they don't want to preach the Bible how it is, and they shy away from that. I mean, anti-soul winning. I mean, I don't want to be part of that. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of a good church. Who can find one? Who can find a good woman? I mean, you might have to drive a few miles to go to a good church. And I know some people in our church, they're not here this morning. But I used to be the one that would drive the farthest. I live in Buckeye. It's a 30-minute drive. But I know we got a family now. They're in Tonopah. And it's a little bit longer for them, probably 40 to 45 minutes. But you might have to drive an extra 30 minutes, an extra 40 minutes just to go to a good church. And like I said in the beginning, I don't know about you, but I want Vision Baptist Church to be labeled by the Lord Jesus Christ a good church. Amen? Who's with me this morning? Amen? And like I said, you might have to drive a few miles to find a good one. Let's go to verse 11. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. The heart, the Bible says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. A good woman, as a man, you'll be able to trust her. You'll be able to trust her. All right? And I want to ask you this morning, can Jesus trust our church? He is the groom, and as a church, we are the bride. Can God trust us? I mean, can God, he's trusted us with the work of spreading the gospel, of preaching the word, the Bible. I mean, can he trust us with that? I mean, I know it's not an easy task. I mean, but can he trust us with it? Can God trust us in that, and that we'll be faithful Christians? Can God trust us as a church? We're starting the new year, 2023. Can God trust us? Can God trust you that you're going to be a faithful Christian? Can he trust us? The heart of her husband does safely trust him. Can the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in the bride, which is the church? Can he trust us? Can he trust us in being faithful to church with church attendance? Amen. We have service Sunday morning. We have Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday night, evening service. Amen. We got Wednesday. Amen. Can he trust us with being faithful in attendance. Maybe you just, and some of you, I see some new faces. You're probably new. You just started coming to church. You know, maybe you should make a commitment. You say, you know what? I need to start being faithful to the house of God. Can God trust us? Can he trust you? Amen. Let's look at verse 12. It says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The house of God will do you good all the rest of your life. Amen. Let me say that one more time. The house of God will do you good all the rest, for the rest of your life. Don't shy away from church. Maybe you didn't like the preaching or you got offended. Someone told you something. And don't shy away from church. The house of God, church, I mean, our country, it's antichrist. They've pushed church aside. They pushed the Lord Jesus Christ aside. What this country needs is this place right here, the church. And that's what we need as Christians as well. We need the church. Don't shy away from it. The church will help you grow spiritually. It will help as you're sitting there and you're listening to the preacher preach, whether it be me or Pastor Schaefer, and I encourage you to come when Pastor Schaefer preaches. He preaches a whole lot better than I do, okay? But it just so happens to me that it's my turn to preach. But as you're sitting there and you're hearing the word of God be preached, right? You're getting rebuked. You're getting exhorted, reproved. All of that, it's going to help you grow spiritually. It's going to help you grow. No, don't just come. I've seen some people, they come into the church or they're, you know, unless it's a woman with her kids, she's out there in the foyer, you know, but I'll see, you know, young people or some people, they just don't want to be in the service when the preaching is on. Don't avoid the preaching of God's word. It's going to do you good. Just how a good woman is going to do you good. And a good church is going to do you good the rest of your life. I can tell you right now, the pastor we have, he's a good pastor. The Lord's blessed us with a good pastor. Like I said, sometimes you won't like the preaching, but it will help you. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes you just got to be honest. Sometimes you just got to be direct, okay? And it might hurt you a little bit, but sometimes you just got to hurt a little bit of help to help people understand, okay? And I'm naturally just like that. I just go straight forward with it, okay? But sometimes you might feel something. And let me tell you something, friend. Don't shy away from it. It's the Holy Spirit. He's trying to work in you. Amen? And let's go to verse 13. Verse 13 here. The Bible says this. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. A good church is going to bring you the best. A good church is going to bring you the best. A good church is going to preach to you the Bible. Amen. There's a lot of churches, they don't preach the Bible anymore. I mean, a lot of pastors nowadays, sadly, this is sad. I mean, they're like motivational speakers. They don't preach the Bible anymore. They shy away from preaching that the woman needs to submit to the man. They don't want to hurt the feminists. They don't preach against homosexuality anymore. And by the way, folks, that's still a sin. Amen? That's still a sin. That's not the way God created it. Like I said in the beginning, Adam and Eve, and not Adam and Steve. And a good church is going to bring you the best. I can tell you right now, Pastor Schaefer, I mean, I was bragging to the teenagers right now in Teen Sunday School how blessed I am of being able to be trained under Pastor George Schaefer. I mean, the man, he knows his Bible. If you ask him a question, I mean, he'll show you the verse. I mean, he just knows a lot. I'm so blessed to be able to be trained under George Schaefer. And I know some of you know we're blessed to have a pastor like Pastor George Schaefer. I mean, he's someone who knows the Bible. He knows his Bible, and he preaches from the Bible. Like I just said a few seconds ago, there's churches, they don't preach out of the Bible anymore. They just don't. They just want to do something motivational, you know, get the people going, and make sure they come back. They don't want to say something offensive. They don't want to be too direct. A good church is going to bring you the best. And I really do hope you make that decision, if you're newer, to stay in a good church that's going to bring you the best, which is the Word of God. Amen? Let's look at verse 20 here. Verse 20. The Bible says this. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Like a good woman, a good church helps out the poor. She helps those in need. We help each other out. We're a family here. Amen. We're a family here. And it's good to help each other out once in a while. I've seen this before. I grew up in church, and I've seen this a lot. You know, it's better just to give than to borrow. Let someone borrow, okay? Just give, amen? And, we're a church family here. And we ought to help each other out when we see a brother in need. I mean, I'll tell you right now. I mean, the Lord's blessed me so much. I just had someone this morning hand me $20. Amen for that. And, I'm blessed. I had someone the other day give me $150. Amen. And I was in need, and the Lord provided for me. I mean, as brothers and sisters in Christ, I mean, we ought to watch for each other. Help those in need. That's what a good church does. And I remember a few months ago, someone gave me $500. And I was like, wow, praise the Lord. I mean, I wasn't even asking for anything. I mean, praise the Lord. You know, but you can be a blessing to somebody here in church just by giving them, you know, it doesn't have to be money. It could be your prayers. You can shoot somebody a text. Amen. And I can't text the whole world. You know, I can't text everyone. I mean, it just doesn't have to be my job. You can help someone that's in need. A good church, just like a good woman, she helps those out in need. I mean, praise the Lord for our church. We have a bus ministry. Amen for that. I love the bus ministry. And the Lord's given us a bus ministry that reaches children every week. And we've had the privilege to be able to feed them. I made a list of people that can help us in the church, help us bring some food so we can feed the kids. And so far, nobody has ever told me, no, I can't bring anything. And you know who you are. You know who's helped with bringing drinks or food. And praise the Lord for that. Amen. And the bus ministry, we pick up kids. And a lot of them, they just don't have parents. They're not in a solid family. I just found out, our three newer kids, I just found out that I thought they lived with their parents. I thought it was a good family. They live in the good neighborhood, okay, in the good-looking neighborhood, the middle class, higher up there. And I said, you know what, this looks like a good family. And then I found out a few Sundays later after they were coming, that in reality, they just live with their grandparents. And as we were driving on the bus, the kid that lives in that home, it's three siblings. One of them said, hi, Mom. And it was a young lady and a young man walking together. You can tell right away that they live in the streets. And I didn't want to say nothing. But the Lord has placed those children in our hands. I mean, He's placed our church in this community to go out, preach the gospel. We have the bus ministry. If we could bring kids in, help them grow, help them get saved, help them know the Lord. Amen. A good church helps out the poor and those in need. I mean, a few weeks ago or a few months ago, I walked in the D building. The D building is the building back there. It's got a lot of stuff in there. And but I remember I walked in there and I saw a bunch of clothes on the floor. And no, it wasn't the Dahmans, okay? Don't blame the Dahmans. But I said, man, I said, whose clothes? There's a bunch of clothes here. I was like, whose is this, man? Who's leaving all this mess? And a few weeks later, I felt rebuked. I said, man, because they told me why that clothes was there. And they said, you know, somebody came and they dropped off this clothes so we can give it out to the poor. Amen for that. And it's still there. We still got a job to do. But amen for that. A good church helps out the poor and those in need. Amen. Verses 21 and 22. The Bible says this, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. A lot of you guys will not like me for this, but I have to say it. Here in verses 21, 22, a good woman, she dresses well. And a good church ought to dress well as well to meet the groom. And we ought to dress well to meet the groom. And I'm saying it. We ought to dress well. I mean, we come to church Sunday mornings. I mean, we're only meeting with the King of Kings. Okay? I mean, we're only meeting with the groom. All right? I mean, I believe we ought to dress well. Okay? Now, let me lay out some foundation here because I don't want anyone putting words in my mouth. Look, when you're new, it's understandable. Okay? I remember when my dad got saved. My dad was a little cholo, a gangster guy. And, I mean, you know, tattoos. He was one of those original gangsters. Those, you know what I'm talking about. Those Mexican gangster guys and the ones that wear long white socks and the Cortezes and the Dickies. Some of you know, you're nodding your heads. You know what I'm talking about. And the big t-shirt. I remember when he got saved, he started going to church like that. I remember the pastor would come and pick him up and take him to church. And I mean, he would go to church dressed like that. And he just started. And then little by little, a few Sundays later, he bought, he got himself some jeans, some good shoes, and he bought himself a polo. He didn't know how to dress well. He didn't come from that kind of background, that kind of family. But he bought himself a polo, and he was going to church. He had his Bible with him, and he put some glasses on. He let his hair grow out because he has a tattoo on the back of his head right here. And when he's bald, you can see the tattoo, but when he grows his hair out, you can't see. He grew his hair. And I mean, a few Sundays later, he bought himself a suit. I mean, he just saw how everyone dressed well. I mean, the pastor was teaching him, hey, you know, church is important. And how many of you agree with me that church is important? Church is important. And please don't get offended because of this, but I mean, we ought to dress well to meet the groom. Amen. And the reason why that has dropped so low, I mean, a lot of pastors, they don't say nothing about it anymore. But I mean, the Bible is still the same. I mean, pastors from years ago, 50 years ago, it's still the same thing. Nothing has changed. The church hasn't changed either. Nothing has changed. Okay. I mean, we're coming to meet the King of Kings. Amen. I mean, I believe we ought to dress well. Just like a good woman, she dresses well, okay? Remember when you were dating your wife and you always looked good because it was important, right? You wanted to get with your wife, gentlemen and ladies. You dressed good. You wanted your husband, you wanted your husband to look good and you wanted to look good for your husband, okay? Why? It's important. It's important. I mean, I remember back in Bible college when I was dating. And I'm not really big on trying to look too good, but when I'll go on my dates, I would try my best to look good. And I remember the young ladies I would date, they would dress well too. I mean, some of them even dressed better than what they did on Sundays. But that's just how it is. It's important. Same thing when we're coming to church. It's important to dress well. I remember I would date young ladies and be in relationships, and over time, I would tell them, hey, wear this or wear that, or I don't like it when you wear that, okay? It's important, okay? And if you think I'm toxic because of that, then that's your opinion, but that's just how I was. But, I mean, it's important to dress well, dress up for church, amen? We're meeting with the King of Kings, amen? And let's keep on going here. When you go to a wedding, you're dressed well, okay? It's important, right? Marriage is important. You're dressed well. When you go to a funeral, you're honoring the dead, the family. It's important that you dress well. We ought to dress well. We're only coming to the house of God, folks. And the house of God, it's important. We ought to dress well. And it's not to look good for so-and-so. You say, well, Carlos, I'm already married. calm down. You're not, you know, just dress well. You don't do it for other people. You do it for the Lord. We're meeting with the King of Kings. And it's important. When you, like I said, Sunday's the Lord's Day. Be ready to meet the groom. Amen. Let's not lose respect for church. You know, don't come in the clothing and the outfit you use to go shopping at Walmart, right? The outfit you use to go to, to the mall with your family. I mean, we ought to dress good, amen? A lady with a nice, pretty skirt, high heels, if you're a high heel type of lady, okay? High heels, I don't know what other shoes, I don't know women's shoes, I don't know. And look, you don't got to be super fancy and expensive. You don't have to. I mean, I'm not wearing my black suit right now, but my mom got me an early Christmas present. It was the black suit. Some of you have seen me in it. And she bought that for me. You know, I don't pay much for clothing. These black shoes that you see here, right, these ones right here, I found them when I was in Bible college next to a trash can. The trash can was full, so they couldn't put the shoes in the trash can. And I just saw them right there next to it. And I was like, man, these guys are crazy. I went to Golden State. That's in the Silicon Valley. And there's a bunch of rich kids over there. So, I mean, I saw the pair of black shoes. I mean, they were beautiful. They were shiny. I was like, man, these guys are crazy. I took them. They were my size. And then a few weeks later, I went to JCPenney. And I saw them there at JCPenney. It's a good brand. They're about $120. And I was like, man, I'm blessed. I mean, we ought to dress well to come to church. Amen? Amen. It's important. We're meeting with God Almighty. And the house of God, it's important. Let's not lose respect for the house of God. Let's go to verse 23. The Bible says this. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land. I'll read that again. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Do people see Christ in our church? Amen. When we're out there, you know, a good woman, they know, oh, that's a good woman right there, and that's her man right there. Okay, I can say that about some of you ladies, okay? I'm not going to say any names because I don't want anybody to confront me after the service. But some of you men, I see your wife, and I'm like, man, you don't deserve her. You know, she's such a good lady. I mean, she comes, she's faithful to church. She's always serving. She's always taking care of the kids. I mean, a good woman's going to make you look like a king. And I see that in some of you men. And some of you men don't really deserve that crown. But, your wife, she's a good woman. She makes you look good. And as a church, as Christians, as the bride of Christ, we ought to honor him. When we're out there, people know, oh, that guy's a Christian right there. He's a Christian right there. And can they say they see Christ in you? Can they see Christ in you? Amen. Don't just come to church, act holy for an hour or two, and then when you're out of church, okay, I mean, you're not a Christian all of a sudden. Everything shuts off, okay? I mean, some of you that live in these neighborhoods, okay? And not just these neighborhoods, all over the place. Y'all live all over the place. I mean, do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? When I preached on Wednesday for Christmas Eve, I mentioned of a story of our neighbor. She was always watering her plants outside her door. And every Sunday morning, she would see us. I mean, my dad was he was suited up. I mean, he was tough on me. If I was wearing a suit and I wasn't wearing the belt, he would tell me, that looks tacky. You need to put a belt on. And I mean, my shoes had to be clean. I mean, Leslie, you remember this. I know you do. And I mean, every Saturday night, I had to pull out my clothes outside next to the iron because my mom was going to iron the clothes. And if I didn't put the clothes there on Saturday night, and I woke up Sunday morning and I didn't have any clothes, I mean, I would get in trouble. I mean, it's important, folks. It's all important. I mean, but I remember our neighbor, she would look at us and she knew we were Christians. And we would always invite her. After 9 years of inviting her and giving the gospel, she finally got saved. And I'm not going to go into the whole story. I know I already said that story. But do your neighbors, the people in your neighborhood, do they see Christ in you? Amen. I mean, they know you come to this church. And they're like, oh, so-and-so, he comes to this church. but he's over there smoking. Oh, so-and-so, he comes to this church, but he's over there drinking. Okay, are we representing Christ? A good woman, I mean, she makes her husband. The man is, the Bible says he's known, okay, in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Okay, are we making Christ, look, do people see Christ in our church? Let's look at verse 24. Verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. A good church helps financially. Just like a good woman, I mean, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, the Bible says. She sells it. If you're selling something, you're going to get money, okay? A good church helps financially. Amen. Are we a church with the giving spirit and one that is faithful with our tithes and offerings? Amen. Are we a church like that, that helps out financially? I mean, it's important to tithe, folks. If you know what that is, 10% of your check to the church to help the church out financially. Just like a good woman, a good church ought to help out financially. That's God's plan for us. That's his will for us, to help out financially, tithing 10% of whatever it is that you make. And I don't know about you, I love tithing. I really do. And I mean, every time, like I just said in the beginning, someone gave me $20 out there in the hallway. I thought they were trying to, you know, do something else. They gave me $20. Someone gave me $150 a few weeks ago. A few months ago, someone gave me $500. I mean, I love tithing. And I don't even give to the Lord, to the church, to say, oh, well, God's going to give me back more. That's not my mentality. It's just from the heart. Tithing, are we help? Like a good woman, she helps out financially. Are we a good church? The bride of Christ, do we help out financially as well? Are we a church with a giving spirit? You know, to be honest, if the pastor gives a word about the finances here and he says, you know, we're struggling a little bit financially and just pray for our church or something. He says a word about the finances. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. Everybody in here, they should be able to take out their wallets and just, you know, for the Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, in a humble manner, not showing off your hundreds. I know some of you guys, the Lord's blessed you very well financially, right? But I mean, we, everyone in here, I mean, even after the service, you should be able, don't make, you know, a lot of Christians, they do this mistake. They try to make Jesus Christ look bad, like if they don't bless them, oh, I don't got enough money, you know. Don't be stingy with what God has given you. Amen. Because that comes from the Lord. Don't be stingy about that. Praise the Lord. We can help out financially. Like a few weeks ago when the missionaries came and pastor said a quick word about, you know, helping them out, giving the church some chickens, okay, for the church in Africa. Amen. That was a blessing. I don't know about you. You know, the groom takes care of the bride. In reality, that's not even us giving money. That's just God working in our hearts, okay, to give money to the church. In reality, we don't want to steal God's glory. That's just Jesus Christ working in our hearts. He's just the groom taking care of the bride. Just as the man ought to take care of the wife, of the family. Amen. We shouldn't be like that. Right? Don't make Jesus Christ look bad. Oh, I don't got any money. You know, acting all stingy, oh, and all this and that. Let's be faithful with our tithing and giving. Amen. Let's look here at verse 25. I'm about to finish up here. Verse 25. Are we a strong and honorable church? The Bible says this. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Are we a strong and honorable church? I mean, Jesus Christ, he's looking down at us. I mean, all the verses we just went through, can he trust us? Are we a strong and honorable church? Are we representing are we representing the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we a church with strong biblical doctrine, right? Are we just going to lose our honor as a church, our strength, with weak doctrine over people we listen to on the internet, right? All these pastors on the internet. Well, I listen to this pastor, and some of you want to listen to women preachers now when that's not even biblical. Amen. I mean, we ought to be careful with that. The Bible says a good woman, strength and honor, just like a good church. We got to be strong and honorable and not listen to believing all these doctrines. You don't even believe what Pastor Schaefer says anymore. I mean, he sacrificed so much to study the Word of God, and you'll listen to someone else on the internet and tell him he's wrong and this and that. Are we going to lose our honor like that? A good woman, she's honorable. She's strong. A good church, we ought to be the same way. Verse 26. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Are we lifting up Christ with our mouth? Are we uplifting Christ with our mouth? Are we representing Christ with our mouth? Amen. The mouth, and I could say this for myself, it could be wild sometimes. You could say some crazy stuff sometimes, something that's not right. You're dishonoring the Lord. And are we representing Christ with our mouth? We see here, and it says, a good woman, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. How is our mouth this morning? Do we speak well of our church? Amen. Do we speak well of our church? Do we speak well of our pastor? I mean, talking bad about the pastor, all pastors this and that. Hey, you're just, honestly, you're just messing up yourself, and then you're going to mess up the church like that, just saying bad stuff about the pastor. Amen. A good woman, she doesn't do that. The Bible says wisdom comes out of her mouth. Kindness comes out. In Proverbs, there's another verse that talks about the woman. She could destroy her own home with her mouth. The Bible right there is talking about the woman's mouth, right? I mean, I've met some ladies like that. I had some friends in church. I mean, their moms, I mean, always talking bad about the dad. Yo, daddy, this and this and that about, oh, yo, daddy's doing this and that. I mean, let's honor, you know, women, honor your husbands. And as a church, as the bride of Christ, let's honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. A good church is a working church. A good church is a working church. We see here in verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household. Okay? He says, and eateth not the bread of idleness. I mean, she's just not sitting down. I mean, she's working. A good woman, she's working. I mean, as the bride of Christ, are we a working church? Are we a working church? I mean, it's the new year, 2023. This year, praise the Lord for 2022. The Lord brought us through. And I mean, we're looking to a new year. Are we going to be a working church this year? Are we serving? Are you serving in the church? I mean, it's so important to serve in the church, right? Have that mentality. Especially if you've been saved for so long. You know, I got to serve somewhere in the church. I mean, Brother Jansen, he's leaving soon. And I mean, he does important stuff here. I mean, who's going to fill in, right? Or don't have this mentality, well, I'm not going to dress well today. I'm not going to tuck in my shirt today. I'm not going to wear a tie because I'm not ushering today. Right? Let's not have that mentality. Let's be ready. Let's be dressed well, representing the Lord Jesus. Let's not lose respect for the church. Let's have a mentality to serve. A good woman, she's not idle. She's not just sitting down watching TV and YouTube. I mean, she's working. What about a good church? A good church ought to be working. Amen? Are we getting satisfied with just a few salvations, with no baptisms? I don't know about you. I get excited. I was out soul winning yesterday, and I knocked on a young man's house. I won't say his name. He lived close by here, and I was trying to give him the gospel. And I mean, he was saying, well, you know, I don't think I would go to hell. I'm still young. I'm 17 years old. And, you know, I'm not an adult yet. And I just haven't done enough bad things to be considered someone to go to hell. And I explained to him right away, I mean, what the Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you're in here this morning, and you're not 100% sure that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven. The Bible does show us a way how you can be 100% sure. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he can save you. Amen. But I mean, are we just getting satisfied with a few salvations, a few baptisms, two baptisms a year? Just two, Brother Carlos, just two baptisms. I mean, I want to see people get saved. I want to see people get baptized. I want to see people join the church. And as they're coming to church, I mean, we teach them how, you know, how to dress, what the Bible says, how the woman should act, how the man should act, what the children should do. Amen. I don't know about you. I want to see that. I don't get satisfied, folks. I don't want to get satisfied. That's our job to do. Amen. Let's go to verse 28 and 29. We're almost done here. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Can God approve our church? Can he praise our church? Can God look down at us this morning and have an approval stamp on our church? Can he praise us? Right? A good woman, she's praised. As the bride of Christ, I want to be praised by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want God to look down at our church and say, you know what? Vision Baptist Church, that's a good church right there. I want God, I really do. I want God to look down and say, that's a good church right there. Can God approve of our church? And we'll finish with this, verse 30. Bible says this, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Do we fear the Lord as a church, as a bride of Christ? A good woman, she fears the Lord. We represent the bride of Christ. He is the groom. I mean, do we fear the Lord anymore? Do we even take our Bible reading serious? I mean, so many Christians, they don't read their Bible. I mean, I've showed some Christians, you know, this is what the Bible says, and they're all shocked. I mean, they've been saved for years, and they're like, oh, I've never seen that before. It's just right there. I mean, they don't take their Bible reading serious anymore, just reading the Bible. I mean, they leave their Bibles in the car. They leave it on the dashboard, and all the sun's hitting it, and it just gets all messed up. The front of the Bible, it just gets messed up. I mean, are you serious? We're not going to fear the Lord anymore? I mean, what's happened to the church? Do we fear the Lord as a church? I mean, have we lost our salt? Amen. Jesus talked about that. All right. I mean, our Savior, I'm sorry, yes. Okay, well, there's no point for, you know, salt. You know, the salt, it gives flavor to our food, right? It makes a difference. Have we lost our savor? What's the purpose of salt? Jesus says there's no good for it. It's just thrown to be trodden under the foot of men. I don't want our church to lose its savor. I don't. Are we going to take the Lord Jesus Christ serious this year coming up? Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes. I'm going to ask Mrs. Neil to